Howdy, and welcome to episode 19 of Hello Fairview, your local podcast made right here in Fairview for people in Fairview and the surrounding areas. This is a weekly show released every Wednesday featuring stories that aim to inform and inspire. Local radio stations and newspapers don't exist in small towns like ours, so we'll use this Hello Fairview to fill that void. With news related to Fairview. This is a value for value podcast, which means you contribute what you can based on the value you receive. This concept was founded by the podfather himself, Adam Curry, and his co-host, John C. Dvorak of the No Agenda Show over 18 years ago. Currently, this is just a one-man operation, and if you have any ideas, events, business opportunities, job openings, anything, please don't hesitate to let me know. Use the contact form on the website, and we'll work to get the updates out on the next episode. You are a producer of this show. You are not the product, because your time and attention are not being sold for to advertisers for their value. Some shows will be longer and others will be shorter, but I always do my best to keep things relevant to the weekly news that's around us in our town. Traffic time. Well, it is normal busy. You can still wait 2 to 5 minutes to make a left in the morning and the afternoon on Cumberland and 100. Cumberland 100 is still getting some work done. Looks like they've marked some more lines that are running parallel, and they're working more on the east side of that intersection right now, which is good to see. And remember, this has still got basically about a year and some change left. Red light update. We've still got three: Old Cox, Publix, and Walmart. There still will get one eventually at the city center entrance and the Cumberland 100 intersection. When that expansion occurs. We're not sure how those are going to hurt or help, but we'll see. City Center. Looks like even more was laid out, and they've defined some areas with some mulch and some hay to try to get some stuff there, but it's still going to be a long time before those first houses are there. They're still working on the drainage and utilities and everything in City Center, so we'll see. And I definitely have to report kind of other news, but there has definitely been a lot of reports over the past couple months related to the Lennar at Bowie Meadows and City Center developments, and how they're kind of destroying the beauty of Bowie Park by anyone running around or walking around the perimeter trail and causing erosion problems along that park's border. There isn't anything that can be done now other than uphold the development codes to ensure they are doing is what we have outlined and doing what we can to protect what we have. But we will see what happens. We're growing. Well, nothing really is new since last time on the city news front, other than the development code, which is probably our most important thing that will have passed in the past couple years, is happening. So January 22nd, there's a planning commission work session. January 27th, there's a board of commissioners joint work session. And then there's two public hearings, February 10th and February 19th. And then a public hearing and the voting with the board of commissioners is anticipated for March 5th, 2026. This is going to allow and exactly how every development has to go in play, every rezoning request. And eventually this could apply to some of you that are not in the city, but eventually may be, or in the city now because you may do a remodel in the future and you might get denied and might actually need a zoning appeal to be done for that. So definitely read up on this. It's the most important couple hundred pages in our news. Other than that, other city news, there was just like what we talked about with Food Saver, talking about the pennies, and we'll get into that a little bit more. Houses. Well, there is just 199 for sale, with 215 for sale last week. So there has been 16 houses sold since our last show. Still the same highs and lows. There's a $3.495 million house that's 70 acres, 3-bed, 4-bath. And then our lowest house in the area in Williamson County or in Fairview is $250,000, no acres, 2-bed, 1-bath, right? So I've also in the show notes updated the final draft for the new zoning map, the new codes, and the street types. And I have the link to the previous 2025 version of the development code if you actually wanted to pull up the two side by side or cross-reference the new versus the old, along with the 2040 plan and map. Town meetings. Well, since last week, there's been no Board of Zoning appeals meetings last week. Planning Commission had one last week. We talked about that. That was another 102 homes on 11326. Board of Commissioners had their meeting last week, basically a show day at 7 p.m. in our town hall. Attendance was light, and we'll kind of recap that now. So citizen comments, we basically had two mayoral candidates come, Mr. Todd and Mr. Andy. Both had different experience. I won't get in here because I don't want to be a complete political advertisement that's unpaid for sure. But you should definitely look at the show notes. I wrote good notes for each one. Both are one's worked in a couple industries for a while. One is the owner of Puckett's in 11 locations and has worked in the area doing that. One's worked for a giant retirement home and has built, over $1 billion of that. He also talks about what was good about his speech was some of the tax stuff, tax debt ratio, that for the state of Tennessee is $266 a person, whereas per capita in Williamson County is $4,000 per person, so 15x higher than the state. So basically, Williamson County is spending more money than we have. So one of the other speakers was Kelly, talked about they moved here from 3 years ago. They're going to Fairview High School, and that they made a notice on here for the Young Life program is missing in Fairview High School. Most of the other Williamson County schools, high schools have it. And this is definitely something to support our new generation in our digital age. And these are, connections and so caring for the next generations, because they're eventually going to be taking care of us. Fairview is growing, and there's an interest meeting on January 26th at 6:30 p.m. at the First Baptist Church on 7310 Overby Road in Fairview, where you can learn how to help. And this is for, definitely get those students over there, but also adults, if you're coming to and you want to help our community with this Young Life program there. And I've got the link in the show notes if you need to learn more about it. The agenda was approved unanimously. They talked about the public announcements and awards, basically about Mr. Ross and how the events are going on. And I made a note here that July 3rd still just shows July 3rd and not the 250th birthday of the country. So we should definitely update that branding next time we get a chance. They presented the audit findings, which was definitely interesting. I put some of the notes in here. But basically, we've got $37 million in assets and deferred outflow versus $19 million in liabilities and deferred inflows, which means we have more assets than we have liabilities, which in simple terms is good. We're $18 million in the net position, approximately $6 million in unrestricted. So it kind of goes into there. There's a good balance sheet that basically shows 66% of the city's revenue comes from sales tax in our town and property taxes. And the rest, 4% come from grants, 18% from other taxes, which I think will equate to fees and other things around that. And then other sources is 12%, which is probably grants and things like that. They didn't get into the slices and dices of that. And another thing is they continued. It was good that they actually had these presentations linked in the agenda on the website, but then they didn't actually have the audit results in there. So I think that means you would have to go to the city hall to get that. The balance sheet shows basically, just what we talk about, 57% is unrestricted right now. Unrestricted cash is $8.6 million, and annual operating expenses are $16.5 million. So we basically have 6 month emergency fund if we're doing Dave Ramsey, is what it looks like from this slide. Restricted cash is about $4.2 million. And over that, we have $5.1 million increase in expenditures driven by capital projects, which basically means we're negative a little bit from that $4.2 million. Overall, expenditures have possible variances versus amended budget details on, page 17 of 20 that we can't see. Uniform guidance, the threshold is $750,000. So in 2026, there will be another audit coming up. And they spent $307,000 on federal awards of that. And so they're you know, they talked about cybersecurity. Obviously, we've got money, so other things and entities may want to steal it. And they talked about the financials and how we can invest that money that we have in cash to help fight inflation a little bit by making some money on the money. And then we got into our monthly reports. The planning department, Mr. Greer yapped about that, and we basically had 43 new home permits since the last quarter and 19 town home permits, and a total of 22 projects were there. The GovWell project is still going, so they're trying to make things easier for our citizens. The final draft of the development code has been posted in multiple places, and we've talked about it multiple times here, so hopefully you can find it and read it. And other than that, their building inspector just finished some training related to that, which is great. And then no other questions were done. Public Works Department, basically October through December, they worked through a lot of stormwater systems and cleaning and fixing things like that, and then trimmed a lot of low-hanging branches. They installed 38 signs. Mayor Anderson asked where they were. He didn't have an exact list. Commissioner Hall asked about the bridge on Horn Tavern Road that's on the list to get done, and the city manager said he'll get back to them on exact dates because he's not sure where on the road Vice Mayor Commissioner Hall is referencing versus where they're going to be work and what's scheduled. Commissioner Buffalini asked when and where are they going to do with Chester and getting that repaved, and they said it won't get repaved until the asphalt companies open back up in March, and so we'll keep an eye on it and keep an update. And they worked on Northwest Highway, Chester, and Horn Tavern Road with some concrete structures, which I think is all related to that drainage and stormwater stuff. The setup of the Christmas parade and Christmas tree and all that was worked on that, and crowd control, so the whole team did a great job there. They ran the chipper and leaf route. They worked on 31 work orders throughout the town. And now we're at the Parks Department. They updated that. Off to a great start this year. The homeschool sessions, which we mentioned into the kids, just for the kids session, was filled up within 4 hours. So that's great. They're doing good things and there's enough there. But it also makes me think, like, can we take the cap off because there's that many people that want to go learn and take their kids to do those things. January's theme is birds. So they have feeder watch and nest watch each week. So if you're interested in either one of those, definitely do that. Commissioner Hall, they wanted to thank Commissioner Hall for getting the land trust sign, which was just received, and they're just waiting on the installation of it. The visitor counter has not been working for the past couple months, but you know, things are rolling. They talked about that they were going to do Publix Earth Day, some outreach programs, Camp Bowie summer camps are coming up. There's lots of volunteer opportunities, partnerships with different places, and homeschool sessions they've completed there. So they brought back more events. So there's been just lots of things going on. So the park team is definitely on fire and things are going great. In 2026, they hope to keep swapping the book on the Storybrook Trail every 6 months. And so the next one will be Run Wild by David Covell in April. There's going to be 4 summer camps, June and July, and then 1 half day mini camp for 4 to 5 year olds in May. There'll be a spring break extravaganza, which is the first time they've done that. They're increasing field trips and outreach programs. Apparently, they even had a field trip that day last week. Bowie homeschool sessions are increasing. And then they've, based on that, they're going to try to keep offering a naturalist-led one, which will have a cap on it, and then open hours with activities that people can come in and do. Online registration is getting close to be able to do summer camps, field trips, shelter reservations, program registrations, farmers market reservations, etc., using that GovWell portal that Mr. Greer was talking about, the planning commissioner. So that'll be cool. So it's really, really good. There's sponsorship opportunities. I never really kind of knew this, but if you want to sponsor a book on the Bowie Storybook Trail, it's $1,700 per book, and you'll be on the sponsored list and featured on there. If you want to be part of Camp Bowie's t-shirts, it's $1,500 for 20 campers per shirt, 5 to 10 shirts. You may sponsor individual camps as well. And upgraded geocaching units, $3,750, 25 units of the eTrex SE. They're looking for people to do that. They have some existing GPS units. A couple of them are broken and they're getting old and expired. So cool things there. So if there's some nonprofits out there that've got some money that want to make a big impact and also be right in the center of town, this is a great place to support. So we've talked about that. Mayor and Commissioner Roberts thanks them for all their work and doing that. And Mayor Anderson did do, and Commissioner Hall thanked them too. So it was really good. Everybody was really excited about that update and appreciated the detail of it too, which was great. Police department update, right? Chief Humphreys, you know, he was right off the bat is how can he follow up to that amazing park update? But he did it. So basically, for training hours, they had 5,640 hours, 6,134 from last year. So down a little bit, but that's just based on that. But one of the things that was definitely talked about a couple times is that their overtime hours were only 76.5 hours versus 318 hours the previous year. We've talked about this before when we had just a regular update about that a month or two ago, and that's because they've also hired more full-time employees, right? So that helps them out a lot. And so right now they've got, this is kind of a cool way to see it, they've got 21 patrol officers, which did 5,460 shifts, two officers dedicated to the training division, three officers dedicated to criminal, three officers dedicated to special services, 780 shifts, and one admin officer, and there's no civilian employees, and they had a total of 7,800 shifts. So this was cool. So they had 814 arrests in 2024 and exactly 814 arrests this year. Very weird stuff. So someone needs to buy a lottery ticket, you know, make a bet on something. Total citations, 2024 was 1,347, we're at 1,400. Traffic stops were at 7,022 from 5,825, and a 19.9% result in citation versus 23% in 2024. Ultimately, that means they're pulling over more people, they're around, they know that the more they patrol, it fixes bad behavior when it comes to citations. And you can see it in those statistics there. Auto accidents, we have reduced those by 13.8%. So there's 238 from 276 last year. And they contribute that to a lot of them being on the roads and being present and the tickets that they're writing to change behavior, which I would agree with. Calls and activity, this is kind of interesting. So, you know, in 2024, we had 11,721 calls, and this year we had 13,438. So it's growing, definitely getting busier. And they can see, you know, basically that there was like a 14% increase in calls, but then a 20%, almost 20%, 19.2% increase in cases. So that means a call actually turned into a case where they had to do all the paperwork and investigations and everything like that. And then when they look at 2021 through 2025, this has been a 98% increase in cases and a 64% change in calls and activity. So definitely, and that's year over year, push all in there. Criminal investigations, our overall violent crime rate is 41% to 44%. Homicide is 58.61% from 2023-2024 data. So another thing that was kind of interesting is that they have an 80% clear rate, which is pretty high for areas around here. So that's good that we're solving things and fixing things. Special Services Division, they served 64 outstanding warrants. So people that are hanging around in Fairview, they're going to eventually get found. So they're making a very clear goal to find these people and do that, which is great. That makes everyone safer. The LISO program, which is Law Enforcement Support Offices, which is DOD excess property. In 2025, they got $70,000 in things, which is basically the stage, portable light stations, forklifts, trailers, command posts, generators, all kinds of things. But over the past couple years, they've got $375,000 worth of stuff, which saves us and the taxpayers from those things and also gives our city and our rescue force from the fire department and the police department all these capabilities, which is a good thing to have. And it's good that this stuff doesn't just end up in the dump. Shop with a Cop was a great success. Total raised was $19,755.03. They were able to help 42 kids, and each child received $350 to spend during the events, and 30 officers did that. So they spent $15,000, and then the other expenditures to help cover everything else. There was also additional revenue, which is something you kind of don't think about, but drug fund revenue, which is seizure and sales. So they seized something from somebody in Fairview and they sold it because they were doing drug deal stuff, and they got $10,258 from that. And then they also sold excess equipment, which gained them $30,000 and $3,420 in surplus sales. So the old cars and stuff like that that they've retired out. Questions? There was a question that I couldn't hear, and all I heard was a thank you. Mayor Anderson, thanks for the great team. And the response was, this is the best group he's ever been able to work with, the team in the Fairview Police Department, which is great. Fire department report, lots of good stuff here. So basically this year so far, 1,747 emergency response calls. Fourth quarter, they had fire extinguished three vehicle fires, seven brush fires, four unauthorized burns, two structure fires in the city, and one structure fire in the county. There were 71 overlapping events, and an overlapping event was a question that Commissioner Roberts asked, which was, what is that? And that's when they're on a call and they get another call. 48 mutual automatic aid responses. Average response time is 8 minutes. Station staffed more than 32 in November. Average call duration is 21 minutes. And to report, you should call 911. There are apparently still people calling the firehouse when there is a house on fire instead of calling 911. So third quarter has been busy. They talked about their call breakdown and basically some of the rescue hazardous conditions. There was a couple of those, a couple of false alarms, a couple of good intents, and a couple of service calls, and then 16 actual fires, and the rest were related to rescue. And I was able to experience that with a wreck a couple months ago on Old Cox, and they were there, and the police, and Jiffy, and made everything so much better in a difficult situation. They changed the federal government reporting structure, so that some of these things are called different things in previous years, basically like good intent calls and stuff like that. Fourth quarter basically showed that the heat map is, where there's more houses, there's more fires and more calls. And they made a good graphic. I posted a couple of the screenshots from their slides in there, but so that you could see it. But basically, you can see their response times went up, and that's because there's more to respond to. But their operating time has gone down, which is good, and that's because there's more than one location now. Talked about overlapping calls going up 12%, auto mutual gate mutual aid given 44%, EMS rescue up 13%, and fire calls were up 48% from the previous years. They also talked about how if you need a smoke alarm or any kind of fire review plan training, they're here for it. They have budget. They can come and help you out. So definitely give them a call. Fourth quarter training, they had 1,874 hours. They did a lot on vehicle extraction and fire and updating equipment. So it was great. And physical fitness test and everything like that. Fourth quarter happenings, they had the Commissioner Fire Academy. They had the fit testing training. They did some stuff on the tower paint to, freshen it back up and update some stuff. We're in the parades and then got Station 32, which is the one on Highway 96, open officially and staffed. So that was good. Commissioner Hall will, asked if they would review commercial and residential properties and the fire stuff, and they said yes. City manager report, basically, right off the bat, the first thing was that the police training facility is going, and the county over there in Hickman County unanimously approved to get that going. The bid is out, and the pre-bid meeting they held just like a week or so ago, there was 13 contractors in attendance. February 5th BOC meeting, they should have it ready to execute to close this 20-year-old chapter of trying to get this done to help out our city and our police. Commissioner Buffalini, the $1.3 million was budgeted. Did it already include the land? City manager didn't really answer that in a good way, but basically we'll have to see where the bids come in and hope we have enough to close into that number. So it makes me feel like we are primed for it to be more. And when I looked at the bid, obviously you could probably do it cheap and call it just a couple $100,000, but I don't think they're going to cheap out on it since so much is on the line. the welcome signs, the bid opened up, and there was already eight contractors have already reached out. February 19th, BOC meeting, and they hope to have that done also by the end of the year, too, which is good. The historical village, the appraisal of the property came in, and it came in at $760,000, which based on the grant that they're applying for, should be able to cover the things with maybe $340,000 out of pocket expense. So we'll have to see how that goes. This is a $2.2 million project, and the first process of the grant has already been submitted, and the second phase will be done in April. Fall should be the bid timeline to actually start picking vendors and exact plans. Bank copies are included in this report, which we had it. Commissioner Roberts is excited to see the process is moving with so many things at once. It looks forward to the start. A great way to start the first year. The agenda was passed 5-0. No big deal there. Old business. Resolution 4424 passed 5-0. No questions or discussion. This was the City of Fairview, Tennessee, authorizing the mayor to execute the site development agreement for AIG NEP expansion with the city engineer. And so that was recommended and passed. Resolution 6225 passed 5-0. There was a 60-day deferral requested, and they voted to give that person 60 more days. And this was so that they had enough time at the Adams Preserve subdivision to fix some improvements there. New business, resolution 126 passed 5-0. The city manager talked about how things went last year. This was basically talking about the audit and the budget and all that and how it all wrapped up. No questions or discussions. Everything was accepted. Resolution 226 passed 5-0. This is the fire chief discussing how this grant would be used. We talked about this on last week's show where the firehouse subs was going to help us get some rescue equipment. And that's awesome. So that was voted. Good to go. Ordinance 2026-01 passed with a 60-day deferral with 5-0. This is somewhere around 80 to 90 homes. This went back and forth for quite a while, but ultimately they were going from RS-40 to RS-15, and so that could be, you know, basically four houses per acre, and this would eventually be converted into CD-3. But they, with their planning, basically this is a big timing problem of what they're trying to recommend versus that, and so the rezoning isn't the final plat. It isn't any approval of the exact build or layout yet, because it has to have approval before to get those zones done before they'll start working on it. So that was a pass. Basically, Commissioner Roberts asked if this was in the 2040 plan. It wasn't, but there's been so many other projects that have been down that Horn Tavern Road that have already done that, and talked about if they're going to clear cut it, and they said no, there's still going to be some trees there. There's also a pond and all that. Commissioner Buffalini asked about the 2040 plan and the RS-15 can apply to that. And basically, just like I said before, there's so many other things that have done that. And so now there's more precedent for it to go. And our planning department has sent out all the meetings, and there's not really anything else they can do. And the response to the board is, you know, they're going to keep things moving forward despite all this. Vice Mayor McDonald, we have discussed the new and old development codes right before this dust settles. The traffic from Horn Tavern and connecting roads, and asked about that. For me, I would like to see you wait for the new codes before proceeding, but I don't think we have to stop everything until these codes are passed. But this is 63 acres, and it could be sold to someone else, and the density would be approved because we approved RS-15, so there could be four houses per acre, even if this builder says they're only going to put 80 to 90 houses. Mayor Anderson kind of echoed some of these exact same responses and then asked a lot of questions related to, is March 5th the date that we're going to be able to pass this so that then they can have their approval and they can start working on their plot and adjusting for that. So they are willing to wait if we have to push this out, because if they vote no on this, that person would have to wait, and that property owner would have to wait for a year, which is pretty crazy. So then the next star of the show were the discussion, Parks and Landscape Board. talked about the city staff and the membership attendance requirements, and the staff said they'd work with the city manager and staff to figure it out. David, the chairman of the board, his term ends in June. As requested, he made the wish list and the email was sent, which we had that because we would have posted that here. But I think we have some of those notes from the Board of Commissioners meeting 2 months ago on here. Commissioner Buffalini says we have $100K in the budget for Veteran Park. Would that cover any of these projects? The city manager said there isn't anything put together right now yet. It's just talk. An amended budget will be released soon. Commissioner Roberts asked if there was any mention of the difficulties of the parks and the Board of Commissioners, if there's a better way to work board to board or put someone in the middle or whatever. And basically, the city manager came back and said we would need to adjust something and amend some things to do that. And so we'll have to see how that goes. Vice Mayor McDonald said this is a good start to the process and moving forward, and the city manager agreed that we need to schedule a work session, and we may just use the work session that's already scheduled for the Parks and Landscape Board to meet then. And the talk of the town and the discussion section was the Fairview City Ballpark. The city manager was asked to do an economic feasibility from the last Board of Commissioners meeting and how it would cost to reclaim this property. On the pro side, this is 30.3 acres. $150,000 we would need to reimburse the county for previous lighting upgrades, and $60,000 annually to maintain this property that have been done this far. You know, the main con is we would be responsible for all capital improvements and the overall maintenance of the property. He said he met with the board and, you know, with the FRA board, and they don't care who owns it as long as their costs to their athletes don't go up. And the board is neutral with this overall thought right now. Each participant right now pays $10 per year, and that goes to the county to participate and do things there. Williamson County will always have the money, more money to do things than the city will be, and they've managed this property since 1996. He feels that the $150,000 reimbursement for the lights and the $60,000 yearly would strain our existing budget, and we would need other capital needs from the city if something came up there. The city also lacks expertise in youth sports, and it's better suited to be remain within the county, and the county is willing to work with the city, and they have a plan. Vice Mayor McDonald's asked where we were with this, and the city manager said that there's contracts, but he wanted to proceed and knows who's waiting on who. Is the county waiting on us? Is the county mayor waiting on us? And basically everything's just waiting for us to approve or not approve. Mayor Anderson talked to the county mayor, and it was approved and passed and started the process. The county mayor would like to know this year before he retires if it's going one way or another, because some of these things that can be initiatives, if you don't get a vote on it before your term's up and the next mayor comes, maybe it's not their priority and it drops through there. So I can understand that. Commissioner Buffalini asked if there's any timeline for the response and got into there. And then how do we want to do some basic plans? They said that the city manager would like to have someone build these plans instead of using the FRA to make those plans. They would like to hire some professionals to do that, which means that's going to cost money for further feasibility of this, depending on how far they're wanting to go. And this, the main thing, another thing the city manager brought up, is they're managing the city's liability and also if they can afford to do it and fund it. Commissioner Roberts asked if this budget was still there, and the city manager said it is in the ballpark. It was a nice pun. Everyone laughed. We still need more time to make decisions, and the city lawyer says this resolution doesn't have a timeline, so we are good. We are not rushed to make a decision. Commissioner Hall asked if we should meet with the FRA. The board should meet with the FRA. And the city lawyer said, we can show up and observe. You cannot talk or discuss or make any plans for that separate meeting. So he would advise against it because it kind of complicates the whole situation. The roundtable, Commissioner Hall, when we got to the roundtable side, wanted to thank the team and everything from there. Commissioner Buffalini, thanks for the both mayoral candidates speaking. speaking, and Mr. Greer can share the picture of the new sign design. And so we posted that on here. There was some talk on Fairview page there, and we got contacted by Mr. David there and brought in, and he was able to pull that up. We mentioned this in episode 4, but I couldn't find the actual picture of the rendering from the live stream or any of that. But now we got it. Commissioner Roberts, thanks to everyone. And one thing that was there is the Fairview Winter Book Sale. It will be starting on February 26th and 28th. And it will go for a couple days there, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. and 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. there. We added that to the calendar online for the city calendar, so you can see that and along from that. And congratulate Commissioner Hall on the land trust sign. Vice Mayor McDonald's update was thanks to all the people that came, and thanks for the mayoral candidates for coming. They didn't forget about the people of Fairview. Thanks to the planning staff for all the new codes. It's good to have this in hand. They had their bound copies, you know, all 300 and something pages. He also said, go Bears. Mayor Anderson, thanks the team for the clean audit. It's been 3 years of kind of peeling back the onion and learning what's going on, and they've got a good hold on things, and the city's in the best shape she's ever seen, and everything's doing great. She was talking about widening Highway 100, but realistically, we won't be in that list for at least 10 years because this is a state highway. They talked about, you know, she mentioned this last time, at the Planning Commission meeting about just adding a turn lane, and that we've got some support to be able to do that. And that way we can help people, especially get in and out of businesses, but also in and out of Bowie Park was one of her examples. And Lee Reeves, they've been working together, and even Bill Lee, since there is some money that they could do to do this. This is a critical project to the town, and she's trying to get this thing going. There was great staff reports, which I can agree. Everybody had great updates. And everything was much more organized than even previous years. So make sure, you know, keep Fairview beautiful. This is there is a town hall at the end of the month, and I'll be missing that, but the Vice Mayor McDonald will be there to take care of it. So that was it. There was no town hall meetings for the Board of Commissioners, no Parks and Landscape Board, no Around Town Coffee or Beer Board. Our next meeting's coming up. We've got February 10th at 7 p.m. Planning Commission. February 5th and 19th is the next Board of Commissioners meeting. The next Board of Commissioners Town Hall is January 29th at 7 p.m. Parks and Landscape Board is February 2nd at the Historical Village at 7 p.m. Around Town Coffee is February 11th. Location is TBD. There's no beer board planned. State of Tennessee. Well, that was a lot. The Tennessee's public records watchdog is raising questions about a Republican-backed bill that would conceal the names of all law enforcement officers involved in immigration enforcement. The Tennessee Coalition for Open Government put Senate Bill 81464, sponsorship by Senate Majority Leader Jack Johnson, at the top of the list for problematic bills this session. The Tennessee electrical vehicle owners and those passing through the volunteer state will find themselves paying a little more at public charging stations if state lawmakers approve a bill meant to mirror a gas tax. Introduced, the bill would institute a 0.03 cent kilowatt hour on public charging stations. This is probably needed in one sense because of the rise of AI and electric vehicles, where the cost of power generation is going up and it's being passed along to everybody. And so this would just add a little bit of charge to each one of them. The Memphis area senator is spearheading legislation that would require the Shelby County District Attorney to notify multiple state and federal officials whenever a felony case arising from a Memphis Safe Task Force arrest results in a plea agreement, reduced charge, or dismissal. This is basically just trying to keep a track on things. And just like we mentioned before with the Food Saver and Pennies, Tennessee actually posted their thing related to sales tax collection. But basically, sales and use tax requires retailers to continue calculating sales tax to the exact cent, regardless of the customer's payment method, including the remittance of the exact amount of sales tax known on the receipt or invoice. If a cash transaction requires change to be given for a customer, retailers may choose their own rounding procedures. For example, they may round up or down to the nearest nickel, round all transactions up to the nearest nickel, or round all transactions down to the nearest nickel. Regardless of the procedure chosen, sales tax remains due at the sales price prior to the retailer applying any rounding due to the lack of pennies. As such, the amount of sales tax due will remain the same for cash transaction as it's for other methods of payment. And credit card transactions, so that it's fair. All sales tax must be remitted as required by law. The bills, well, they are back, and I guess in a big way. They have a ton of meetings. This is the longest this bills chapter will ever be on the show so far. I'm going to skim through a couple of these things that are happening on the 20th, and we'll even skip the things that are happening today on the 21st because that's happening right now. There's a ton more. I'll leave it for you to click around. Some of the agendas are actually there. None of this is ever covered by any of our local news or newspapers in this detail. You may only hear things that get people down to protest like we saw last week. And anything else that doesn't garner enough attention for protest, you never hear about it. But basically, we'll just run through it. The list is on there, but there's basically 7 to 10 meetings each day, the 20th and the 21st. Basically, all these committees are meeting. K-12 subcommittee basically is talking about their research and some scholarship funds. House Transportation Committee, which is HB 0864, is introduced, is evidence of compliance law registering vehicle increases from $25 to $50 the coverage fee imposed by the Department of Revenue to comply with this. And there's a fee of $250 if you fail to do it and $500 for the subsequent failures. House Bill 0536 amends some authorized dealer without establishment of a place of business issued to the dealer, basically related to how dealers do their things. State and Finance Ways Committee has a bill, State Bill 1151, and this has to do with the lottery scholarships. And Chapter 4, as introduced, removes the requirement that a student with a documented intellectual disability be admitted to and enrolled in an eligible post-secondary institution in an eligible program no later than 16 months after completing high school to be eligible to receive the Tennessee Step Up scholarship. And then State Bill 1069, Motor Vehicles, Title 55, Chapter blah, 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 as introduced, will allow written notifications that an auctioneer is required to send to the Motor Vehicles Commission of the time and place of the auction where the motor vehicles were auctioned at going out of business sales will be sold and be sent electronically. So basically some reporting stuff. And then the House Education Committee, you've got HB 024, which basically enacts the School District Capital Investment Trust Act, which amends Title TCA Title 49. HB 0902 is the education curriculum update and requires each local education agency and public charter school to annually implement an evidence-based substance abuse and violence prevention program. And each school that serves students in any grades from 3 through 12 to reduce tobacco, alcohol, and illicit drug use by students. Population Health Subcommittee has a bill, HB 1400, and this amends the TCA Title 33, Title 63, Title 68, as introduced. Directs the department to implement a suicide prevention program, requires the department to submit a report and to legislative committees with jurisdiction over health-related matters, this program, and any other suggested department based upon the research of the previous calendar year. And then we had HR 0007. This is going to designate September 22nd as Veteran Suicide Prevention Day, and this goes related to 22 a day. It's a serious problem in there. State and Local Government Committee has SB 0795. This is purchasing and procurement, as introduced, that authorizes local governments to purchase goods and services directly without bids or quotations from vendors awarded the GSA schedule at prices equal to the vendor's GSA scheduled rate. So it means they don't have to go to bid for everything now as long as that vendor is on the GSA contract. SB0717. This is a utilities related thing, and basically, as introduced, it requires the public utility to allow a customer of the utility use of a contractor of the customer's choosing for installation of utility infrastructure, and allows the public utility to provide reasonable construction costs and manufacturer specification for the utility infrastructure, and adds additional requirements related to the use of private contractors for the installation of utility infrastructure. The House of Education Instruction Subcommittee basically had something about math, HH0125 and HH0126. No details or abstracts there. The State and Commerce Labor Subcommittee, SB0350, as introduced, prohibits landlords from preventing a tenant from lawfully possessing, carrying, transporting, or storing firearms, firearm components, or ammunition on leased premises or in a vehicle located on leased premises, and creates a cause of action for a tenant who adversely affected by a landlord violation of that prohibition. SB 402. This, as introduced, prohibits health care providers from reporting a patient's medical debt to consumer reporting reporting agencies, prohibits consumer reporting agencies from including on a consumer report of medical debt. Senate Judiciary Committee had SJR 0543, and basically this was making Human Trafficking Awareness Month, January of 2026. House Education Administration and Subcommittee, HB 1219, as introduced, requires the department to establish and administer a pilot program for the placement of hygiene vending machines that dispense feminine hygiene products to students at no cost to the student in the women's restrooms or locker rooms in each eligible school participating in the program. HB 1288. As introduced, creates the School Safety Grant Fund administered by the Department of Education, requires that school safety grants be used on local education agencies and public charter schools with the prevention, reduction, and efforts regarding to school shootings. House Bill 1250, teachers, principals, and school personnel amends as introduced. A local board of education and local charter school governing body to employ or accept a volunteer, a school chaplain, to provide support services and program for students, school staff, and parents. House Election and Campaign Finance Subcommittees, HB 1159. Requires voters to designate on voter registration record a political party with which the voter is affiliated in order to vote in primaries on such political parties. So it doesn't have it now, and now it will. HB 0929, Campaigns and Finance. This will authorize the use of campaign funds for the payment of fines, fees, and penalties assessed for the violation of campaign finance and ethics laws. We covered that a couple months ago, one of the first shows, about someone going to jail for some of that. And I guess that means their funds have to get used to pay that back. Then we have HJR 0129. This urges Mark Goins to resign from the Tennessee Coordinator of Elections in a tent and position. Interesting. HB 0458 makes various changes to the election laws regarding voter registration, absentee and early voting, voter list maintenance, tabulation of records of votes, and voter identification. Sounds like a big old voter reform bill. May have to dive into that one specifically next week, because this is 2026 is a year of elections. All right, how's the hill? Well, it's definitely passable. It's definitely cold. The weather guessers are predicting highs from the 20s to the 50s, lows from 33 to 7 with some snow on Saturdays, with which the temperatures that are going on, it could be cold enough for it to stick around a couple days, and they were saying 5 to 8 inches. We'll have to see. This could be our best chance for snow for the year, but it coming in on Saturday is just inconvenient to all school-age children, because that means they're losing a couple days that they could have been off school and playing in the snow. So make sure and go ahead and head to go get your sleds and all your other things. New businesses. Nothing new was spotted. Just like we talked about, that property is still under contract across from Car Orthodontics for $1.4 million. So we'll have to see you there. We can also see the Vigilance Martial Arts building is still for sale. And so it looks like that's closing soon in the next month because it's under contract, wrapping up. Farmers Market, make sure you head to the Farmers Market every Saturday morning, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. At Messick Chiropractic and Fairview Fresh Deli Donuts, and located across the road from Publix and Fifth Third Bank and all that. There are so many good places there to get breads, treats, local beef and pork, fruits and vegetables, along with so many, with some hot sauces and barbecue sauces, fishing lures, and other gifts this time of year. So definitely check them out. Our local brick and mortar highlight is Food Saver this time. Here's their description of themselves here. Our family-owned store offers a convenient one-stop shop where you can find everything you need from the everyday essentials to the specialty items from around the world. Our friendly staff is here to help find exactly what you're looking for and assist you with all your products. We take pride in our community and appreciate your business. We know that you have many options for food purchases, and we want you to know they're working hard each day to continue to earn your business. Always check out their sales is definitely my unofficial thing, and they do a lot for our town. You'll always see them and a lot of supporters for some of our sports teams and other athletic and nonprofits. They're the same family that will own the Ace Hardware across from Tractors of Placo on Highway 100. Basically, in the simple terms, good people with good deals. So definitely check them out. Job openings. Well, we're up to 40 from 31 last week. So there's more things. One of them that got added was UtiliQuest, utility line operator. Fairview Car Wash added one. Customer service attendant, I guess, as we start getting warmed up here. Boys and Girls Club, Walmart, basically every restaurant. Pilot needs a cashier. Iron Lion Entries needs help with a window and door install tech. The Dollar Tree needs a customer service associate. Papa John's needs some stuff there. Pizza Hut needs there. The Pearl needs a PCT, personal care technician, on there. AMS Seals needs an assembly. USIC needs a gas locate technician, which is go find the gas lines with your little handy-dandy scanner. Hardee's needs a team member, Tractor Supply Co. Yeah, there's 40 things in here. If you've got a job position that's open, please reach out to us and we'll try to find it. History nugget. Well, we're going to do Sleepy Hollow Road. This is named after the village in the Hudson Valley in New York. This village is the setting for Washington Irving's favorite story of Ichabod Crane and the Headless Horseman, while the Dark Shadows movie of Barnabas Collins made famous in the 1970s, where the real Sleepy Hollow with Johnny Depp movie was made in New England, and the TV show filmed in South Carolina and Georgia. So that's kind of what the Sleepy Hollow is about. Upcoming events. Well, nothing really to recap. Basically, it's starting to just get riled up for the year. So Bowie Park, you know, just like we talked about, you got Feeder Watch and Nest Watch Tuesdays and Wednesdays, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. to help track birds. January 13th, we have 10 to 12 p.m. That was from last week. January 17th, we have the Songwriters Night. That is all done now, too, so we're good there. So hopefully it looked like I saw a couple posts that it looked like that turned out good. January 22nd is Herp's Heroes, 8 and over. This will learn about all forms of lizards and snakes. January 26th is the Young Life Group Meeting interest meeting at the First Baptist Church on Overby Road. So definitely go check that out. Remember, adults and school-age high school kids in there. January 30th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. is the seed swap and your cuttings at the Bowie Nature Center. February 7th, 3:30 to 5 and 6 to 7:30 p.m. is the Sweetheart Father and Daughter Dance, ages 5 to 14, $30 per couple at the Williamson County Enrichment Center. So to register, we've got the links there and their banner. February 26th and 28th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., there'll be the Winter Book Scale at our public library. And remember, it's not just books. They have DVDs and other things that are always going to be there, too. And this is Commissioner Roberts brought this up in her update. And so we definitely support the the library and all they do for our community. April 28th is the Fairview Titans Pro first annual four-man scramble golf tournament. So definitely do that. And then, you know, I've got the other stuff in here that's like the Easter egg hunt in March and the Arts and Crafts Fair in May. And then movie night out at Bowie Park in March 16th. So definitely do that. And as we said, it is the year of elections, 2026 elections. So early voting for the primary will be April 15th to April 30th. And then that election day is May 5th, 2026 for the primaries. And then we'll get deeper into those schedules later. For the kids, there are a ton of activities in sports and keep your kids engaged with the thriving, all the recreation teams and cheer teams from baseball, basketball, football, and many others. There's a thriving Girl Scouts and Scouts BSA program from kindergarten to 12th grade. If you have a homeschooler, make sure you're always checking out the Bowie Park schedule for the clubs that meet there. If you have any kids who are interested in dance, gymnastics, or cheer, please check out La La's Dance Studio and Elevate Gymnastics and Cheer. Vigilance Martial Arts is our local Taekwondo and Jiu-Jitsu school that teaches more than just moves. The Fairview Jacket Youth Wrestling Program is a great program that even has some summer options. A lot of state champions from there. And then volleyball practice is about to start for youth volleyball, which is ages 7 to 9, which is 9U, is co-ed, and 11U and 14U is intermediate and junior league. So there is some information on the website. The week of March 16th will be their practice. So as you're, if you're interested in that, make sure you go to the Fairview Recreation Complex. We also have the links in our show notes, so you can click on that and register. School news. Well, you know, the January 19th was yesterday or the day before on Monday. And so there was no school for that. And Hawk and Tiger news, no new news. Falcon news, the newsletter is back. January 20th is FMS Wrestling, which was yesterday at the WMA at Mills Creek. And the Lady Falcons flag football will be January 25th from 1 to 2:30 at the Fairview High School field. On show day here, the FMS bowling team will be at Freedom January 26th. At the cafeteria, there will be a parents meeting for softball and tryouts on February 2nd at the FHS softball field. February 12th, Spring Picture Day, and March 5th is the makeup picture for Spring Pictures. Rising Freshmen's, February 18th, all rising 9th grade families at 6 p.m. The 8th graders course selection will start then from February 19th to March 5th at the FMS Library, and the Fairview High School counselors will be reaching out to try to figure out what grades are going to do, so it's all there. Let's see, and then we had some of the same stuff there, and yep, and then we've got all that there, and the MBF, yeah, we talked about that. The Teen Safety Matters was coming up from there, so that's all done from that. And yeah, so that's kind of it for the Falcons. And on Jacket News, they sent a newsletter, and this time we could actually click it. So Jacket News, woohoo! Congratulations to Charlie, Ava, Cody, and Ben for winning the Student Television Network National Short Film Competition called Mixed Signals. We have a link to the News Channel 5 story that they did. It's a good video. They have a link to it in the news station, in that news post. The Fairview Lady Jackets flag football tryouts will be January 25th from 3 to 4:30 for high school kids. So if you notice, it's the same day for middle school and high school, just different times. So this will be good. February 13th and 16th is our midwinter break. So there is no school. March 6th is the end of the third quarter. March 9th through 13th is our spring break, so there's no school. April 3rd is our spring holiday. There's no school on that. And May 21st is our last day of students, 11:20 a.m. dismissal. So we are in the home stretch of school wrapping up. The Fairview Recreation Association needs some umpires, and they have some games on January 31st and meetings at 10 a.m. and February 21st at 1 p.m. at the Fairview Ballpark. If you're interested in umping, we've got that in there. Applications to the Innovation Center are still open December 2nd through February 13th. Senior jackets and rings can be ordered. The Innovation Center, which is on Claude Yates Drive, will be opening. Students to five different programs will meet, which is advanced power and machinery, aviation, cybersecurity and AI, hospitality, tourism and culinary, and fire management system. Applications to Innovation Center can be found on ClassLink December 2nd through February 13th. So basically, the Entrepreneur Center and the Innovation Center are both open right now for your kids to sign up. And the Jacket fundraiser link still in there. Well, faith moment. This week, I heard a clip from old Par Harvey. The original one was back in 1965, and I found it so relevant to our times. How 60 years ago he got this right is amazing. Kind of, I guess, a Nostradamus kind of thing. Paul Harvey was a broadcasting legend, and he was always wise with his words and did a lot for the American people. But I had never heard this, and it didn't hit me until I came back to the church, you know, and after I've been back to the church for a couple years here, and after a long pause, so when I listened to this 3-minute little nugget with my Christian hat on, it definitely hits a lot different. And I think it shows a lot about how our society has moved away from God so much. So here we go.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about, however necessary, to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Well, if I were the devil, I would. Well, welcome back. So I hope you listened to this, and this could be a little spooky from being 60 years ago and being so accurate to our current situation politically, morally, and nationally, and the understanding of its relevance. To sum it up, you know, this 3 minutes is a lot. I think there are a couple lines that stood out to me like this, because we've talked about this during Christmas. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbols of symbol of Easter an egg and the system of Christmas, symbol of Christmas, a bottle. Which has happened. We celebrate both of these holidays around the world, but the Christian part of these are left out and have been washed away and replaced by the Easter Bunny and the Christmas tree. And I think these holidays should be revisited to their kind of original intent and their original foundings, because it means something to this country. This country was founded by our Christian religion, and we knew, and the rest of the world knew it, and now we don't. And we act like we don't know that that's why we're doing this. This isn't Happy Holiday. This is Merry Christmas. And then this one here was another one. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned and swinging is more fun. That way you see on the TV is the way it to be. When we look at the TV streaming and online video sources, this highlight is highlighted even more. And it puts so much pressure on our young adults to emulate what they have seen so much of over the years that they may have unwittingly done versus what they may have heard from us or the church with what's right and wrong. Many of these things he talks about in this message have come true. And if anything, they've gone far beyond even what he could have imagined. You know, I'm hopeful we're going back to those things and we're changing things in a positive way for the country and for our faith. And even if we don't agree with it now, this is definitely the heavier of the segments, but it just touched my heart. And that's what these faith moments are about, keeping Christ in our daily lives. And this show is only once a week, and I hope these moments can help inspire others. Donations. On the donation front, nothing new from Fountain. Make sure you're using the Fountain app or another next generation app and support us so that we can do more. Have lots of ideas of cool things, but right now, you know, this takes up quite a few hours every week to get all these new sources and then just sit here and, you know, record it all out. But I'm still very thankful, and I'm hoping that this makes a difference to somebody. And that brings me to thank you. Thank you. I hope if you found this podcast helpful, thank you. Please support us with your time, talents, or treasure. If you have any ideas or suggestions, please share it with us. Use that contact form. You're a producer of this show. If you've got any talents, if you have any skills that can help the show and help for you, let us know. Treasure, you know, you're receiving this product for free without any paid advertisements. You're getting truly local news. And if that's worth something, please consider supporting us financially using the value for value system so that we can do more. Make sure and follow us on social media and hellofairview.com, because a lot more things are coming. And I hope y'all have a great day, and we'll see if it's snowy by next show. Thank y'all.